So Jennifer, as you've heard, Jennifer Wagoner has locked herself down using the bear claw recently used at Headwaters protests in Northern California. We hope they don't pepper spray her, like apparently it's been okayed to do up there to those protesters, dabbing pepper spray on their eyes. That was upheld, at least the preliminary injunction was denied by a federal judge. I guess it was yesterday, at least maybe it was on Friday it was denied. It was reported in Saturday's papers. So at 1733 Ocean Street, or Ocean Avenue, down in Santa Monica, homeless activists have taken over a former RAND Corporation government think tank abandoned piece of property. And it was apparently the last vestiges of single-room occupancy housing. It had been left vacant for 2 years to decay. It's slated for a new Civic Center development plan to expand the Civic Center, build a new business park, new police station, emergency response facility. We should know about that, shouldn't we, folks? New police station at expensive, huge cost. And there's no timeline of development on this program down in Santa Monica. In the meantime, people are freezing their butts off and getting mighty cold and wet down in Santa Monica. So anyway, she's chained herself down to the property across from the glitzy $300 a night Lowe's Santa Monica Beach Hotel to illustrate the need for emergency policies and facilities that include homeless people and to protest unfair public policy toward homelessness and poverty while the country is considering, as I'm sure most of us know, a second war over Iraq and corporate interests. So I have a second later report. Actually, it happened about 30 hours later where Jennifer was about to be arrested. She called in again, and reporter Becky Johnson got her story. We're hoping to play that before the end of the hour. Perhaps even Becky will be able to call in herself if she's listening to this broadcast to give it to us, because we're having trouble finding it on our tapes. I also want to remind people that there is a news reporter who actually broke the story and has really given us the details of the killing of Happy John in the most vivid way that none of us would know about. We would only have the official story if it were not for Vinny of Free Radio Santa Cruz being out there with his bike and his tape recorder, going around asking witness after witness what happened, trying to find out who did what, trying to find out what the details were at the time. And in order to make judgments about what's happened, we don't have to wait until they open the closed files in 30 years, because we have someone who went down there and did the legwork necessary to get some of that out now. Right now, the man, however, is confined to legwork because his bike was taken. So I'm encouraging everyone who has a dollar or two to send it in to Free Radio Santa Cruz, specifically earmarked for Vinny and his bike. Again, that's Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Or if you want, come up to Vinny tomorrow at the district attorney's press conference and lay some change on him, because he needs to get a bike so that we need him to get a bike so that he can do some more reporting and get around from place to place. You know, who knows when the next such incident is going to happen. I want to remind people that on Wednesday there is going to be a demonstration against Willie Brown's defoliate the Golden Gate Park area of homeless. That policy that has been going on, actually, it's been ongoing under three mayors, or possibly four, but it's been stepped up under Willie Brown even before the latest hysteria in the San Francisco Chronicle through columnist Ken Garcia's claims that there were needles and parolees, junkies, and arsonists all running around the park. It's interesting how there is going to be a rally at noon in San Francisco, and I'm thinking of going up there if enough people are interested. Right now we've received no calls from folks interested in going up to San Francisco on Wednesday to join and express solidarity with the Golden Gate Park homeless, or the homeless of San Francisco. If I do get some calls, I will consider taking at least one carload of folks up there. Give me a call if you're interested. My phone number, for those who want to even comment on this show, let's say at a later time, or give me news flashes. If you can't get through to Vinny because he hasn't got a bike at the moment, or can't get through to Free Radio Santa Cruz, is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the name of my civil rights organization I've been working with for about 7 or 8 years. We are really concerned with abuses against homeless people, against poor people, and certainly Willie Brown's latest stepping up of attacks on people in Golden Gate Park is one of the worst. Look outside your window, ask yourself if someone should be allowed to put up a tent and sleep in this weather, and I think you can only have one answer. There is only one answer to that question. An interesting thing came up, however, while that last section was being broadcast. I apparently have received a phone call, not here at the radio station, but at my home, or my room, I should say, from the district attorney's office. And the district attorney's office wants to know what I know about the killing of Happy John. Now, of course, I wasn't on the scene when Happy John was killed. I showed up 3 hours later with a tape recorder, and I guess other people were there. Becky Johnson was videoing at the time, and I then have interviewed numerous people. What I'm going to do, however, because I'm glad the DA's office is continuing to investigate this matter, even on Sunday, that should show some diligence. I mean, they should be commended for that. Although the cynical side of me starts shouting, damage control, that's what they're doing. But hey, I mean, you know, let's give them their due. Someone is called and asked, what do we know, what do I know about this case? David Silva, as you've heard, who also was involved with a man who said he was a witness and said he was injured in an automobile accident at the same time as the, or near to the time of the shooting. Silva was also called by the district attorney's office. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to publicly call back the district attorney's office on the air and make a public statement to them of what I know, which isn't much, other than, of course, secondhand, about the killing of Happy John. And I'm going to let you all hear it. Now, whether the district attorney will allow me to, will be allowed to, whether he will speak publicly is, of course, an interesting question. Let's see, shall we?
Hello, this is Inspector Crowell of the Santa Cruz County District Attorney's Office. Please leave a message and I'll return your call.
Hi, Inspector Crowell. This is Robert Norris returning your phone call of earlier today. You were interested in getting some information about the Happy John slaying of Wednesday night. If I can help you in any way, you have my phone number, 423-4833, or if you want to reach me directly, you can call me. I'm at the studio right now. I'm on Free Radio Santa Cruz. You can give me a call here at 423-5361. Let me hear from you if I can help in any way.
Well, I had hoped we could actually get the district attorney on the line, but maybe not, or obviously not. How sad. But I will certainly keep everyone abreast of, whoops, here's an incoming call. Maybe that's the district attorney calling back.
Hi there. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Sorry, not the DA. I just wanted to say you have a very wide audience today, and everybody should know that. This is an extremely hot show for the community of Santa Cruz, and one can only imagine who's listening to your show right now, Robert.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope the district attorney's office has the fortitude to give a call, and I'm happy to tell the community anything I know, as well as the district attorney's office.
Take care.
Thank you.
So, the district attorney's office, to me, unfortunately, doesn't have the best record, because, as you may have heard from Vinny and from Phil Free, both Free Radio Santa Cruz reporters who called in, on Friday, when the press conference was held, the three of us went into the press conference room, sat down, and actually it was the two of us, Vinny and I, and Phil came later, sat down, tried to, waited for the district attorney spokespeople to arrive. We were then told they cleared the entire room, saying they needed to use the room for, quote, another purpose. They moved us all out into the corridor of the second floor, and then within 3 minutes, they let everyone back in again, but this time they had to pass through a gauntlet of officials examining credentials. And the three of us did not have specific official press credentials immediately accessible, and therefore they stopped us and did not let us in. And this is what happened. You get to hear a little of the dialogue involved. The significance here is not that we didn't have the credentials, because they certainly could have made that request inside the room. They were trying to avoid any kind of confrontation, because we probably would have, some of us might have said, we're not going to leave the room. Arrest us and remove us if you'd like. We were here at what was announced as a press conference. Instead, they barred our way. And it would have been, of course, a form of assault or possible battery for us to push past and attempt to go into the press conference. But here is a recording of what happened, at least some of it, at that point.
I need a report, because I'm just here to tell you that we've been postponed this conference for about 15 minutes. The users room from over there, in another room, so if you guys would mind evacuating. Leave the cameras there.
What?
Okay. And then we'll get set up. One of the problems we're doing is establishing just some real basic biographical information.
Biophysical?
I don't know about that, sir.
Actually, what you're hearing now is pre-press conference stuff.
That we're allowing people that have press credentials. You have the press cards. Well, I'm right here. Can I see your card, please?
You don't need one in Santa Cruz County.
Well, you need one today.
Why? You can't just change the law like that. I'm sorry.
Well,
you know, you tune in tomorrow night, and I'll be on the air. You know, so...
He's a regular commentator on the radio of Santa Cruz.
FM.
Okay.
And I have a press pass for the... I park in the press parking lot.
May I see your card?
Judge Kelly, you don't believe me?
May I see your... I don't know who you are, sir. May I see your card?
I don't carry a card.
Well, that's...
I'm recognized by the court here, and I have a
sir,
parking pass.
Sir, I don't here. Recognize you. I don't know who you are. You got a press card. I'd be happy to let you
in. I see. So you're refusing it. They'll allow us access based on some of what we're saying, right?
I'm not allowing people, members of the press, sir. You guys have press cards.
We're telling you we're members of the press. You're refusing
you
to acknowledge
card?
That.
Show me where I need one to get into a press conference.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Alan Johnson. Okay.
Is this your decision, or is this a decision of somebody else?
Gentlemen, thank you.
I think he's getting orders from somebody else. Should have given...
All right.
So we're in the corridor here with the excluded media who are not being allowed into the district, I guess the district attorney's press conference on the issue of the murder of Happy John, who was killed last night by Officer Carey at Front and Soquel Street. I'm talking to two free radio commentators, Phil Free and Vince...
V-Man.
The V-Man. Tell us something about what's going on here.
There's a press conference called today at 11 o'clock in reference to the police shooting of a homeless man last night. I responded as a member of Free Radio Santa Cruz. I came to ask here at the information booth about it. And
we're on the second floor of the county building.
Yeah, she asked if I had been called by their office. And I said I didn't know how our people found out about it. But then I asked her, I said, so you people picked the media that's coming to the press conference? And she wouldn't answer me, I said, so you're not allowing anybody except the media that you picked to come to your press conference about a police officer shooting? I could raise my voice a little bit. She said somebody would be out here to see me. It's 20 minutes later, the press conference has just started, and nobody's been out to see me. And three other members of the press here have been denied access to the press conference as well.
Actually,
still waiting for this person that's supposed to come out and see me, because I'm sure this lady back here wouldn't lie to me.
Certainly not. You're referring to the receptionist at the district attorney's office here.
To lie to me unless she's being ordered. So
right.
I'm still waiting for the person that's supposed to come see me to discuss this issue. I think the answers to my question are yes. They handpicked the media that's going to be here, and they're letting nobody else in. I also told them that I was with Free Radio Santa Cruz, and that's what she told the person on the end.
Let me in there, since I broke the story before any established media. Why? Well, under what authority? There's a law in Santa Cruz that says I don't need a press pass to get into a press conference. So this is called censorship. This is called censorship.
So you actually were in there, Vinny, before, as was I, and at which point they cleared the room, claiming they needed the room for another purpose. It seemed like possibly a subterfuge to get everybody outside. And then 5 minutes later, everyone else filed in again.
Right. I think this guy over here is wanting to talk, maybe. Let's see.
This will be the person that's going to come see me.
Is one of the folks who denied folks access
to the public access?
Yeah.
The black guy at public access, what's his name?
What's that?
The black guy that works at public access, older guy. What is his name?
I don't know his name.
Very common name. He can get press passes like he is.
It's not press passes. It's selective. They call people selectively to this press conference. They don't want unpleasant questions asked.
Well, I saw the way the news was censored. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I saw all the videos and audios that they did last night.
Right.
Nothing like what the press is covering. Nothing.
So we have an individual here who the district attorney's office has said would come out and speak to him on the issue of denial of access to a public press conference, which these two individuals here are denying. I guess one of them has already said what his name is. Who are the names of these guys who are...
No, she told me that somebody would be out to see me, and I've not been untold that somebody would be out
to see me. I'm not here to see you. What can I do for you?
Hi, my name is Phil Free. I'm with Radio Santa Cruz, and I'd like to know why we're being denied access.
Because it's press conference. We admit members of the accredited press. If you guys have got press cards...
You selected the press? I've tried to get a press pass in this town. They said, in the city, we don't need one, and we only broadcast citywide.
You
can get
card.
One for the county, but we don't broadcast countywide. We only broadcast in the city of Santa Cruz.
I think that you guys probably should apply for a press card.
How do I do that?
How do you do that?
Probably to the district attorney's office, probably to the police department.
Would that be expedited?
Surely we're not going to be able to do it in the next 8 minutes. But that's what the press is all about. You guys need to have press cards.
Well,
press cards. Listen to me.
Freedom of the press?
What a press card does is allows you to do things that a normal citizen is not allowed to do. That's why
told you didn't have to have one.
Are you going to interview me or what?
Yeah. You come out to see me.
All right. So that's what the story is with the press card. The penal code specifically provides the press with access, which is denied to the normal public. So generally, just somebody coming up and saying I'm with the press.
Well, everybody.
I came to this office.
I don't know who Phil.
Okay.
I don't.
I came to this.
You know who Phil is.
He came out to talk to me. I came to this
That's
office.
That's what you need to do.
I came to this office 6 months ago to mm-hmm. apply for a press pass. Mm-hmm. I told him that I worked for Free Radio Santa Cruz and we worked in the city of Santa Cruz. Lady here told me that I did not need a press pass for the city of Santa Cruz and that they did not issue them.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the same place that I would come to get the press pass for telling me that I need? So why, when I came to get one, she told me I didn't need one?
Who did you talk to?
The lady who was here 6 months ago.
I don't know who that is. Probably her.
That's pretty convenient.
I doubt that, but...
What
you guys need to do
is... I read between the lines, and I see where your stance is,
to get a press pass.
You're sticking very to the letter of the law, and it serves you well.
We try to obey the law here.
You try to use the law, sir.
Can you tell me what law it is that you're what law you're invoking?
We are allowing people that are accredited members of the press. Now, the press is granted greater access to scenes like crime scenes than the normal general public. That's why we accredit members of the press. If your fellows are with the press, that's what you need to do.
Why are you excluding people acknowledged to be with the press who may not have specific credentials?
I don't know if you're with the press.
Do you know anything about the witness that was sent home, the one that was either run over by the police car or hit by the police car that was about 30 seconds before the shooting told that since they knew his father, he could just leave? Nothing about that?
I have no information about that. If you have
Richard
a name.
Goethe. Richard Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E, just like the philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
His father's one of the most wealthy men in Watsonville. So he was told, you're okay, you can just go. But he was actually, I had to take him to the hospital. He was so battered that, you know, he was stammering all over the freeway. I found him wandering on the freeway. The police just dropped him off on the freeway on-ramp.
When did this happen?
He was hit by a car about 30 seconds before the shooting.
Right.
Right there at the site.
Hmm.
But he was told not to speak. And when he heard the police were at the hospital, he ran and escaped from the hospital. He left the hospital and ran into the rain. And no one knows what the condition of his health right now.
I'm very anxious to speak to him.
Yeah. Well, I might want to speak to his father to find out where he is and if the boy's okay. I think it's really improper for the police just to drop him off on a freeway on-ramp when he couldn't even walk straight. He was.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm very anxious to speak to him.
Okay. It's concerned to me because he was in my home. He was too afraid to go to the hospital. I just literally took him there anyway.
Okay, I'm very anxious to speak to him.
His name's Richard Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're anxious to speak
and
to anybody. Goethe
Realty, I think, is one of the biggest operations in Watsonville.
We're very anxious to speak to anybody that witnessed this. Okay, gentlemen?
He's very afraid. But not to speak to the alternate media, right?
I'm sorry?
Not to speak to the alternate media.
I don't know anything about that.
You did. You barred our access to this press conference.
Well, the press conference
we were sitting in the room, and then you had us all file outside, and then you screened the people coming back. Why?
Thank you.
I'm sure the public thanks you for making a one-sided view of the whole situation. So,
time to apply for
Art Danner strikes again. Maybe he's an up-and-coming DA.
Gentlemen, this isn't the place. Why don't you write us a letter?
I'm applying for a press pass right here and now.
I know you how to do it.
Okay.
Write us a letter.
Write you a letter?
Write us a letter. That's how we do it.
Highway Patrol. That two issues press pass.
The Highway Patrol.
The Highway Patrol.
Wait a minute. I'm getting three stories now. Somebody told me earlier to come to this one now.
No, I don't know who told you. I'm telling you. There's a couple of ways you can do it. You can go to Highway Patrol, or you can write us a letter.
Who's us?
The District Attorney of Santa Cruz County. Write us a letter.
And stating?
That you're requesting an application for a press pass. That's how we do these things. Write us a letter.
Look, he runs media, and so do I. And any media member in there would tell you that if you ask them that question. They know us by sight.
I don't know you, sir.
So you're saying that they would lie to you?
Sir, I don't know who you
no,
are.
No, you're obviously trying to exclude alternate media because you don't disbelieve that media when they tell you something like that.
I don't know who you are. If you wish to apply for a press pass.
I know. You're giving us the official story.
Please write us a letter.
Uh-huh.
That is the official story. Yes, sir.
That is the official. The official story is you're not allowing the alternate media in. That's the reality of what you're doing. We're in the hallway. They're inside. And you have barred us access to that room. For no reason whatsoever, then apparently you don't want alternate media to hear what's going on. Is there any other possible reason?
Sir, please require a press pass.
Uh-huh, sure.
Happy to allow you to
right.
Uh-huh. Thank you, sir.
What do you want to know
my name? We're going to file a complaint.
Right
ahead.
I didn't
do anything. Oh, not a thing. He's wearing a blue shirt, refuses to give his name, dark pants. Local attorney. So another individual has not only denied us access, but is refusing to identify himself and say who he is. How you doing?
Which department is this?
It was the two gentlemen in the hallway out here who were screening people from the press conference. They refused to identify themselves, at least one of them did. So I can't tell you what department they're in. I'll simply have to give a physical description of the person in the complaint. Have you got any kind of a form you use or individual that I should specifically address the complaint to?
And what you're hearing here is my attempt to make a complaint to the district attorney's office. In response, the district attorney sent out an official to threaten me with arrest.
So it's about 25 to 12, and we're waiting outside the district attorney's office to get some response to our request to file a written complaint. I am about to file a complaint, as is an employee of Free Radio Santa Cruz, a broadcaster, member of the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, for being excluded from the district attorney's press conference on the issue of the murder of a homeless man last night. Some would say the police shooting in downtown Santa Cruz. And what's your name?
Who am I talking to?
Robert Norris.
Can you turn that off, please?
I'm in a public place. I prefer to keep it on.
Well, I'm not going to be talking to you if you have that on, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm a reporter. You don't want to talk to me, don't talk to me. I'm a reporter for Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Can I see some identification?
You don't believe me?
Can I see some identification? I showed you mine. I want to see yours.
My identification is my word. You can listen to my show at 6 o'clock today on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Let's step over here, sir. Okay. If you have no business here, this lady is a receptionist. If she can't help you...
I do have business. I'm attempting to file a written complaint against two employees of the district attorney's office.
Okay.
Now, are you the individual who should be approached on that issue?
Who are the individuals?
Okay, well, that's unfortunately a problem because one of them failed to identify himself. I'll give a physical description of the man, and possibly the receptionist can identify him. The other individual, his name is on this tape.
What is your complaint?
My complaint concerns the exclusion of myself and two other reporters from a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And the contention that he had that press credentials need to be produced was of concern to us.
Well, you asked me for my identification.
Yes.
I showed you mine.
I understand.
I'd like to see yours. Okay.
For what purpose?
For the purpose is I don't know who you are.
My name is Robert Norris.
I don't know who you are.
I'm sorry if you don't
have no identification. You have nothing to indicate.
I don't have to identify myself. I don't work for the government, and you do. Your job, sir, is to deal with the situation.
Of the press. You have nothing.
I do. I am known by.
I don't know who you are.
Okay. I am known by.
I don't know who you are.
I understand, Mr. Flores. However, every member of the press in there knows who I am. And had this individual asked any member of the press, they would have identified
me as a
member of the press.
What I'm going to ask you to do is leave this area here. Okay, obviously this lady cannot help you. Okay?
I'm looking...
If you come back here with some type of identification, I'm sure we'll be glad to talk to you.
I am looking for a complaint form, and I won't leave until I get a complaint form.
Well,
it's as simple as...
We don't have a complaint form.
Well, then you better develop one.
Okay.
Or tell me the process for making a complaint.
Okay. I would like you, if you want to come back here with some information, you're saying you're from the press,
can you
bring some identification
please?
With you. Okay?
Thanks.
Bring some identification with you.
Keep an eye on this whole process.
All right.
No, I'm waiting for a complaint form from the district attorney's office about one of his personnel. I'm sure such a form
exists.
I'm
waiting for some identification from you.
Are you? You don't have to doubt myself.
Yes, you do.
For what purpose? Am I under arrest? Am I under arrest?
I don't know that, sir.
A private citizen can make a complaint to the district attorney's office.
Your complaint is you're a member of the press.
A private citizen can make a complaint to the district attorney's office.
I'm going to ask you to leave this area here because you're creating a disturbance.
I'm not creating a disturbance. I'm speaking in a calm and quiet voice. I'm waiting for a form.
Well, you can speak to me over here. Okay, this lady has business to do here.
I'm not interrupting any business.
Well,
no one's coming to this window.
You are.
No one's at this window.
You have business here, Mr.
No?
Okay, he's on his business.
Go ahead.
Come on.
Go for it. Go for it.
Robert, go along with the program.
Oh, never.
There probably isn't a complaint form. It's required for police departments to have complaint forms. I've never seen it that a DA's office has to have one.
Really?
So, yeah. I may be wrong, but that's what I think.
So the district attorney's office has no form?
We don't have a complaint.
In good conscience, they should receive them. But if
there's
not a form, write it out, and they should receive it.
Okay, so what's... Mr. Flores, what's the appropriate...
Try not to suck me into this anymore.
Of course not. Of course not.
You made a good suggestion. Write it out.
What's the appropriate process?
Write it out.
And to whom should the complaint be directed?
You can direct it to the district attorney himself, Mr. Dan.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Also, I would suggest if you come in here and telling us you're a member of the press...
Yes.
...that you said you have some form of identification with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know you. No one here knows.
I have ID. Will I be allowed in?
Are you a member of the press?
Yes, I'm with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Okay.
I have a California driver's, identification card. And will that get me in?
I don't know.
It has my name, has all my vital stats. You know who I am? It doesn't say I'm a member of the press. But if you tune into 96.3 FM, you'll find me there.
One last thing is, both of you are starting to create a disturbance here, okay? There's other people that have business here. I've asked you...
Let me move over slightly over to the side.
This is a public building, as far as I'm concerned. It is. But also there's business that's going on here.
Sure, no problem. We have no interest in interfering with any business.
I'd like you to, if you have a complaint, write it out. If you have some form of identification, identifying you as a member of the press, bring it with you.
Well, we're also concerned with letting the public who are coming in and out know just what the procedures here for your office is, namely to exclude the alternate media. That's what you seem to be doing.
I don't make those decisions.
I understand. And I don't hold you personally responsible.
I don't make those decisions.
You understand that this our job is to make sure the media gets
all,
in
all I can say is
information should be free.
Both of you are starting to create a disturbance.
I don't feel like creating a disturbance.
Okay.
We disagree on that interpretation.
This is a public place. There's people that here that have business.
Sure, and I'm not interfering with it, as
well,
you can see.
You are when you're standing right there.
Well, here we are
okay.
Over here.
And I've got things to do.
Yeah,
okay?
I've got things to do.
And I would ask
too.
You to stay away from
one
this
of my
area.
Jobs was to attend this press conference.
I would ask
whole
you to
conversation
stay
would
away
not have occurred if that
from this
happened.
Area where this woman has business to do.
Well,
okay?
I
thank you very
I
much.
Saw a form. That's
thank
the reason
you.
I was over there. And I don't much appreciate the intimidation either.
So, as you can see, if you you displease the authorities at the district attorney's office, maybe they'll attempt to arrest all of us tomorrow at 8 in the morning when we have the press conference ourselves regarding the early, one might say, premature conclusions by the district attorney and the police chief, and hopefully have alternate witnesses speaking. If you disagree with the district attorney's office, they apparently will come out and try to arrest you if you hang around long enough. At least that's what they did with the three of, at least with two of us, they threatened us with creating a disturbance, when in fact, of course, the disturbance was being created by the presence of the officer who wanted us to leave. Well, we were, in fact, informing certain members of the public what was going on, but that was our job. Since we couldn't get into the press conference, we should let people know that the press conference was an exclusive kind of affair. Now, actually, ironically, the press conference itself said very little that was of really very informative, although I was quite glad that I was able to see a complete video of the press conference, which showed very specifically and repeatedly that both the police chief and the district attorney, Art Danner, were stating that Happy John had assumed a combat stance and had pointed a weapon at the police, according to witnesses. They didn't specify the witnesses. They dodged questions about whether there were alternate accounts. It was quite interesting to have their particular words for a flyer that I wrote later, which I encourage you to read. If you see it around, it's called Stop the Cover-Up. And I'm hoping to turn out another flyer soon that goes into greater detail on some more witnesses' accounts that have come out. I don't have the answers to any of these questions. All I know is that to get the answers, you have to weigh all the accounts. And it seemed quite clear the decision of Art Danner and Steve Belcher, the police chief, was that 8 or 9 witnesses were to be ignored. And since those were the only witnesses that we, the only accounts, really, other than the unknown bouncer in the back of the police car and the two police officers, only the 8 or 9 people said that there was nothing pointed at the police officer, that there was no threatening combat stance, which is a very key point, and that is, I think, a point that has to be investigated and discussed, if not by the district attorney's office, which apparently it's not happening because Art Danner has already made his pronouncement, right? So Police Chief Belcher has already made his decision. Then the public has to make that investigation. And we're going to be hearing soon from another witness, Stacy Buckaloo. Thank you. Vinny is still with us here, the one of the excluded media, and a potential jailbird, I might add. By the way, that whole conversation that you heard in the foyer of the district attorney's office, it's actually in the public area, should illustrate to you how to deal to some extent with authority that comes on to intimidate you. The key rule is stay cool. Keep repeating what your rights are. Try to make it public without being extremely loud, so other people can hear what is being said, but you're not creating a disturbance in the sense of interfering with other people's business. Because they will continue, he continued to harass me, you may notice, for about 10 minutes it went on. But you have to hold your ground. And in holding your ground, if they overstep their boundaries, then you're in a position to, A, expose the kinds of repression that they're using regularly on other people who are, shall we say, less willing to hold their ground. And at the same time, you may actually get some remuneration out of it. I've actually never won a lawsuit against the police department or the district attorney's office or any such authority, but you do make them back off. And it's if they really screw up, then you're in a position as, for example, the victim of Deputy Liberty was some years ago, the fellow who was beaten up in Scotts Valley on videotape and who was exonerated by the sheriff's department and by the district attorney's office. And then later the judge just found a huge $500,000 financial settlement with him. I'm trying to remember the victim's name. I know the man with the billy club was Deputy Liberty, who is still stalking the corridors of the county building, by the way. Don't get in his way. That's my advice. Or if you do, be calm and be ready to take a few, I'll present, maybe he actually haven't heard of any further direct physical abuses by Liberty. Anyway, press conference tomorrow at 8 o'clock, hopefully with new witnesses and some old witnesses you've heard on the air, but maybe you'd like to ask questions of directly yourselves, appearing in the on the second floor of the county building, and also some real questions of our own for Art Danner, for Chief Belcher, and for those public officials and bureaucrats siding with them. This is not really about Officer Carey. This is not even really about Happy John, much as I understand what one of the callers said is that we're focusing all our attention on, you know, we're not asking, what about this man who died? I'm not really asking that question. I'm quite honest about that. I'm asking, what about justice? What about open process? What about there being real accountability, as one of our callers said, and ending this process wherein the police issue a story and that's the end of it? We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. This is Stacy.
What's your last name, Stacy?
Buckaloo.
Stacy, we spoke yesterday, and you are one of the, you're a prime witness. You were actually in the car near the scene of the shooting, and you were interviewed by police afterward.
Right.
And then I spoke to you on the phone. I guess you spoke to some media. Your name was mentioned in a Santa Cruz Sentinel story.
Right.
And then you came in over yesterday, and for the first time you actually viewed the full press conference of the district attorney.
Right.
On video that was taken by one of the participants. First, you haven't been listening to the show, right?
No.
But you are you going to be at the press conference tomorrow at 8 o'clock?
I plan to be, yes.
That would be great. Would you be interested in answering questions from the public as to what you saw? Well, why don't you tell us now, and take as much time as you like, what happened that evening? Where did it begin for you? And then just proceed through it step by step.
Okay, we were driving, headed towards Long's on Front Street, and we were stopped because as we were driving, the police car had already pulled up, and both policemen were out of the car, and there was a pickup truck in front of us, and my attention was drawn to the pickup truck as it put on its reverse lights and started going backwards. And next I looked up and I saw the police officer on the driver's side in a combat stance with his gun raised. He was standing probably 2 feet from the curb in front of his car door. The other police officer was standing on the passenger side in about the same position. And I saw a man on the curb standing by the metro bench. And
how was he dressed?
From what I could see, he had on a red knit hat, a t-shirt, and a pair of pants.
Mm-hmm. And what was he holding in his hands?
He was holding nothing.
Say that again?
He was holding nothing.
He was holding nothing in his hands?
Right.
Was there perhaps a plastic gun?
No.
Some kind of a weapon that the police officer was concerned about?
No.
Hmm. You saw nothing in either hand?
Nothing. I saw as he was shot, which was the next thing that I saw, his left hand was up and his right hand was down. I did not see anything in his hands. Perhaps I couldn't see anything in his right hand because maybe it was too dark, but I did not see, as the papers had stated, that there was an object pointed at the officer and that the victim was in a combat stance.
Were your eyes consistently on the man, or did you look away from him?
I was watching him the whole time.
So, first you saw the officer, correct me if I put words into your mouth, first you saw the officer and then you saw the man, you saw them both together, what?
I first saw the officer with the gun and then my eyes were drawn to the victim.
Mm-hmm. Did you know the victim?
No, I did not. I did not know who it was. I could not see his face.
Do you have any hostility toward police officers? I mean, you've had problems with them in the past?
None at all.
You feel like you have some sympathy for folks who are shabbily dressed on the street, do you feel like they're treated unfairly by the police, or?
I can't really say because I haven't been in any situation like that. I don't really know mm-hmm. their situation.
Mm-hmm. What do you do for a living?
I'm a student.
And where are you a student?
At UCSC.
What do you study?
Marine biology.
What year are you?
Second year.
How old are you?
19.
And were you driving this vehicle?
No, I was a passenger.
And where were you coming from?
From the Catalyst.
From the Catalyst. From the concert there. So, I interrupted your story. I apologize. I tend to do that. You want to continue with what happened?
Well, next thing there was, he had his gun up, and there was probably a two-second lapse.
You mean Happy John had his toy gun up?
The officer had his gun up.
The officer had his gun up.
And there was a two-second lapse, and from what I thought, the driver's side officer shot his gun twice mm-hmm. into the chest region of John.
Did you see, like, smoke from the gun, or did you see anything fly out the back of the victim, or?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
And then as he was shot, you know, Happy John's left hand was up, covering his face to chest region, and his right hand kind of was gripping his stomach, and he staggered for a little bit, and then he was yelling, and he went down.
And then what happened?
And finally he just relaxed. Officers came up to him, and next one, when I saw one police officer lifted up his shirt and was searching his, looked like his waist region, and then, you know, he stepped back, put on a pair of gloves, and started searching again.
Did you see the officer pull anything from him or throw anything from his body?
I could see, there was, like, at one point there was something in his hands. I don't know if he pulled it from John or what he was doing. It was kind of confusing because both officers were coming and going and putting on gloves. And
do you know, again, which officer did the shooting in terms of, was it the driver or the passenger?
I thought that it was the driver, the passenger. I didn't notice if the passenger side officer had a gun pointed. I only noticed one gun in the whole scene.
Did you see any interaction between the officers?
Well, about a minute later, another officer was on the scene, another police car, and I don't remember if it was one or two officers, but the officer who had done the shooting, there seemed to be a confrontation between two officers. They were kind of yelling at each other for just a few seconds, and then the one officer who had done the shooting was immediately taken from the scene.
Did you hear the officers going back to immediately before the shooting? Did you hear the officers say anything to the victim, or the victim say anything to the officers?
No, I could not. My windows were rolled up.
How's your vision? Are you? Are you?
20/20.
You don't require a correction for your glasses?
No.
How about your hearing?
It's fine. Excellent.
So, did you stay in the car? You say your car was immediately parked behind that of the officer's car?
Right.
Were you like a truck length back, or were you directly behind the car?
We were probably, you know, 15 feet from the back of the police car.
Mm-hmm. And was it raining?
No, it was not.
How well lit was the area you were looking at?
There are street lights there, but the place where John was standing, there's a little bit of shadow that comes out, but I could see the police officers in full vision, and I could see Happy somewhat well.
Continue with your discussion of what happened after Happy was shot and killed.
The police officer was removed from the scene, and the paramedics came on the scene, and to me they seemed to... I was kind of surprised at how slow they were moving. I thought the paramedics were really fast and persistent, but...
Did you see the police officers offer any, forgive me for interrupting, any medical assistance to the victim?
No, none at all.
And how long a period of time did this lack of assistance take?
Probably, you know, 2 or 3 minutes until the EMT was actually working on the victim or, you know, putting the victim on a stretcher, brought him into the ambulance, you know, loaded him in the ambulance, and then I looked in the back of the ambulance and they were doing chest compressions on the victim.
Did you see the police discover what they later described as a weapon near the victim?
I didn't notice.
Mm-hmm. At what point did the police ask you to leave the area or I take it that happened at some point.
Right. Probably like 2 or 3 minutes after the shooting, there's two other police cars on the scene, and they were putting up police lines, and we were just right in the middle of the police lines, and they asked us to make it.
Have him say something on air, too, if he's willing. Did you talk to him about this at all as this proceeded?
That night, as
in other words, in the car immediately after the shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Did you two say anything to each other?
Yes, we were talking about it.
Do you remember what you said?
First thing out of my mouth, I said that was injustice. We were really shocked. We couldn't believe that we saw. We thought that we saw no reason for the victim to have been shot because we didn't see him posing any threat to the officers, making any type of aggressive movement towards the officers. It just basically looked to me like somebody was shot from about 5 feet away, right in the chest.
When he was shot, did you see him drop anything as he fell?
I did not notice. I don't think so.
Could he have dropped something that you didn't notice?
He could have.
Do you think, did he seem to have any kind of, could even listening to a radio?
I did not see a radio.
Mm-hmm. Did you see if the back of his body was in any way mutilated from a gunshot wound? Could you see his back?
No, I couldn't see that. He was laying on his back on the sidewalk.
What was the reaction of the other officer to the shooting immediately after the shooting, or did you see that?
Basically, from what I could see, the passenger was just standing there as the victim was shot. But I really wasn't drawn to him at all.
Mm-hmm. So then, continue with your description and what happened after the. You say some police officers came up to you and asked you to make a statement.
Right.
And how long did that take? Anything you wanted to say about that process?
We just basically told the officer what we had seen. Somebody else from there was a shop nearby who was sweeping the store. He also made a statement. We just told him what we saw. You know, we kind of asked him what did happen, and he said that the police were notified that John did have a gun and was carrying a gun. And that was basically all that.
Did he say gun or toy gun?
He said gun.
That was the same story given to me by Lieutenant Habey when I arrived 3 hours later, that it was a gun. They didn't mention it was a toy gun.
Right.
So, were you interviewed by the media that night?
Yes, we were. Bob Gammon from the Sentinel.
And what happened with it? What did you tell him, and what did you later see in the media?
We told him exactly what we had seen, exactly what we told the police. The next day, our words were quoted right, except there was one thing that was not correct. What we said, it said Mike Schultz said that the police officer ripped open the victim's shirt, which was, Mike didn't say that, and I said that, but I said that I saw the police officer lift open the shirt. I didn't say rip open the shirt.
Mm-hmm. You also, when you talked to me earlier, you mentioned something about the distance. You wanted to comment on that?
Well, it states in the papers that he was shot from 10 feet, and you know, every time it says he's shot from 10 feet away, 10 feet away, I've gone back to the scene, and it wasn't 10 feet. I think I have a pretty clear idea what 10 feet. I think it was 5 feet that he was shot from.
And why do you say that?
Well, the police officer was standing about, who shot the gun, 2 feet from the curb, and the sidewalk in length isn't even 4 or 5 feet, and Happy was standing probably 3 feet into the sidewalk.
I'm kind of reaching for the story now. I have the Friday story. I think you're talking about the first story that appeared?
Right.
Thursday story.
Right.
Which unfortunately I don't have here. Perhaps, what's your sense about this, and why are you agreeing to talk on the radio?
Well, what my sense is what I saw is, basically from the media, I think that they're not telling the truth as far as what I saw and what I've spoke to other witnesses saw. And basically, I'm just really kind of shocked at the media and the police force and how they work. I've never been in a situation where I can really see the truth and see how it's represented. So I'm just kind of, I just want the truth to be told, and that's it. And I don't feel that it's fully being told.
Would you describe yourself as a political activist?
No.
Are you actively involved in any kind of political campaigns to, deal with police brutality or any campaigns?
No, not at all.
Have you ever signed a petition?
Yeah.
Well, what would that petition have been?
Just random petitions, mostly environmental petitions. Like, the most recent one I signed was for the homeless gardens.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any friends who are police officers?
No.
Do you have any reservations about police officers? If I were, for example, asking you if you'd give their testimony equal weight in court, what would your answer be?
Well, probably up to what happened on Wednesday, I would say yes, but probably after Wednesday, I would say no.
I see. Is there more you'd like to add? Any other thoughts or perhaps details that might come to mind?
I'm just frustrated with the media. We've expressed our discontent with the media and how they've been representing this whole case. It seems that the media is working for the police. They've made all their statements based on what the police said and based on the police stories, and they've neglected to look at what the witnesses have said in this case. And they've also just seemed, today in the press there was something in the opinion section, and they said, we have to realize that it's a tragedy for the police officers to shoot somebody, but never did they mention that it's a tragedy to the family who was shot, and never did they show any type of sympathetic, emotions towards
the victim,
who, when they said, oh, he had a toy gun, they were sympathetic toward the police officer, but never to the victim.
Well, it's also, one might say, this is just my thought, a tragedy for the community in the sense that now other police officers are going to be regarded with increased fear, and their word is going to be questioned, I think, more than it was before.
Right. It did mention that. It said, we understand when there's a shooting, the community gets upset, and, that's reasonable, and we all are supportive of, questionings and, to the police. And we've tried to call the DAs and say something to them, and basically they've been like, really, it's none of your business, and we've tried to say, hey, listen, everything's being, not everything, but a lot of things are being falsely represented in the media, what's going on, and they have not been supportive, as said in the press, that they're supportive to citizens.
Did you yourself call the district attorney, or did someone else?
No, I did not, but Mike did.
Is Mike there? Is he willing to talk about this situation?
Yeah, he is. Would you like to talk to him? Hello?
Hi. Yes,
would
I would.
Talk to him?
Definitely would.
Okay, just a second.
Hello.
Hi, who am I talking to?
This is Mike Schultz.
Hi, Mike Schultz. This is Robert Norris, and you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
How are you, Robert?
All right, Mike. We spoke yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
Can you describe for me, I don't know if you were listening to Stacy, but just pretend you weren't, and just describe for me how things unfolded that night, and take all the time you need.
Oh, we were driving up Front Street. I was stopped by the sight of two officers pointing guns at a man, which absolutely surprised me. I guess a couple seconds elapsed between the time we saw the officers holding guns and then bang, bang, two shots fired. And my immediate reaction was just fear, possibly that the shooting wasn't finished or, crossfire could have hit us or whatever.
Now, when you saw the man, was he, did he have a weapon in a combat stance toward the officers?
Absolutely not. I saw no signs of aggression coming from the victim at all.
Were you in a position to have an unobstructed view of the witness? I mean, of the victim?
Oh, yes.
Where was that? Where were you?
We were located about maybe 20 feet probably behind the officers. Angled parked car.
Wasn't there a truck in the way?
Not at all. Not at all.
So So, because I heard some mention that a truck, you stopped behind a truck and then the truck pulled away or something like that?
Well, personally, I was focused on the scene completely. I didn't take note of who was in front of us at all. I mean, it just wouldn't have blocked our vision, considering that everything that took place was off to our right-hand side.
Now, were you sitting in the passenger side or the driver's side?
I was driving the vehicle.
You were driving the vehicle.
Yeah.
And how's your vision?
My vision's fine. Excellent.
You wear glasses?
I do not.
You wear contact lenses?
No, not at all.
Okay. And so again, what did the man look like you saw? How was he dressed?
What did I notice? I noticed a white shirt, red headgear of some type. That's about it. Maybe he had jeans on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really all I know.
What was he holding in his hands?
That I could see nothing.
Could you see his hands clearly?
I wasn't focused on his hands. You know, it would be hard to say. I wasn't completely focused on his hands. I was kind of focused on his overall body and the position, you know, that he had.
Would you say that you could see whether he was in a, quote, combat stance or not?
Right, I would say that I could see that, because that was a part of his whole body. And as I said, I saw him never make an aggressive motion towards these officers, and I would consider a combat stance aggressive.
What was his stance? How would you describe it?
To my knowledge, if the officers were both facing him, he was, at least what I remember, not fully facing them, but almost half turned to them, as if his side, it was basically a profile shot of him is how I saw him.
Now, he was half turned toward them and toward you, I would assume, right?
No, I would say he was, if anything, he was back towards them halfway. You know what I'm saying?
So they were beyond him. They were further down. I get the impression of you parked, then the police car, and then slightly further down the sidewalk, Happy John. But is that accurate? Was Happy John actually had the car gone beyond the police car gone beyond Happy John? Were they kind of, when they got out of the car, were they further down the street toward Soquel than Happy John was, or were they between you and Happy John in some sort of sense, not obstructing necessarily, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. The car was slightly ahead of him, and maybe one officer was behind him, and one slightly in front of him.
Now, which officer did the shooting, as far as you could see?
As far as I could see, it was the first officer in my vision, which would have been on the passenger side.
So this was the passenger side officer you saw do the shooting?
That's what I noticed. The man closest, the first man that I could see, which would have been on the passenger side of the car, was holding the gun up.
Now, what happened there? Did you see any interchange between the officers and Happy John?
Well, at that point, we heard the two gunshots and stopped, and then we saw Happy John's stagger.
Let me understand, you were driving and then heard the gunshots and then stopped, or you stopped before the gunshots?
We stopped at the site of the site of the officers.
And was that before the gunshots?
That was before the gunshots.
How long before the gunshots?
I would say no more than 5 seconds.
So could Happy John have been in a combat stance and then sort of relaxed from the combat stance to the position you saw him in? Let me put it this way.
I wouldn't rule. I mean, that could have happened. It wouldn't obviously be exact with what is being said. I mean, that possibly could have happened. We could have missed the combat stance, but obviously the firing took place at the site of the combat stance.
Now, did you see him pointing anything?
No, I did not.
Could he have been pointing something and then sort of pulled it back before you saw him?
I wouldn't. Any of that could have happened. I don't, you know.
You regard it as likely, unlikely, who knows?
I would say it's not what I saw.
So you would say that didn't happen?
Yeah, I guess I would have to definitely say that.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Would you say that possibly could have happened? Or was that? I'm trying to get on a scale of 1 to 10. How likely was it that he was in a combat stance before you got there, and then that he resumed the stance that he was in that you saw, and then the shots happened?
Not from my direct account would I answer that, but as far as how likely that is, I think highly unlikely. They're not. If he takes a combat stance or makes a motion, an aggressive motion towards the officers, that's going to draw their reaction to defend themselves. Mm-hmm. He goes into the combat stance and retreats. Then he's calm, obviously, and there's no need to take action.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any smoke from any of the guns, or any? Did you see anything? Bullets come out the back, or something coming out the back of Happy after the shooting?
I didn't.
Okay, well then, what happened?
Well, as he was staggering, and then eventually he fell to his side, anywhere from his side to his back, and then we noted, and I took note that he was on his back, and then he was kind of reaching up. He had what would have been his left hand sort of reaching up, and he was holding his lower section and just screaming.
Mm-hmm. You could hear him screaming?
Oh yeah, that was clear, definitely.
Now, were your windows rolled up, or were they rolled down?
Windows were rolled up, yes.
Yet you could still hear him screaming?
Yeah, yes.
Could you hear anything else?
That was it, just the screams, they were noticeable.
And presumably the gunshots.
What's that?
And the gunshots.
Oh yeah, obviously.
What did you see then?
Well, he was reaching up in pain, screaming, and eventually he became motionless. At that point, I noticed that the officers, and when I say motionless, he appeared to me to be dead. And I noticed at that point that the officers, at least one officer approached him defensively. I mean, he had his gun held up, and he approached the victim with his gun, pointing at the victim, as if the victim was going to strike back, but that's ridiculous. He's pointing the gun at the victim. He knelt down, he reached into the victim and removed something and threw it from the victim.
What exactly did you see, if any? What do you think that was? Did you have any description of what that was?
I would not have a description whatsoever.
Was it large, or was it hand sized, or was it very?
I could say that it would have been hand sized. Yeah, at anything it would have been hand sized.
Now, did he reach? You said, where exactly did he go to find this item?
Definitely the waist area. If I had to say, it would be his pocket. And it was definitely in the waist area.
Could it have been his hand that was holding that item?
Not at all. It couldn't have been his hand. Both his hand. You're asking if the officer could have been removing something from his hand.
Right.
Not at all.
You're fairly sure of that?
I'm clear of that, because one hand was holding his stomach to chest region while the other hand was raised in the air. Could have not been his hand, not at all.
Then what did you see?
I saw the officer remove the whatever he removed. He threw that to his side, and I think that's the last thing that I remember seeing in terms of the officers and the victims. The next thing I remember seeing, which kind of seemed weird to me, it almost seemed that someone approached the victim, sort of yelling at him, and then it seems as though another cop came on and kind of separated the officer from the victim,
mm-hmm.
which appeared weird to me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I know that Stacy said she saw two officers arguing and somebody separating them, or perhaps some interaction between them. I don't know if she saw somebody separating them. She saw two officers arguing. But
two officers, yeah. That was the most there was two officers, and it looked to me as though an officer approached the victim and started yelling at him, and then the other officer came up and kind of put his hands up like, come on, what's going on, dude? In other words, she may have seen it at that point where he came and confronted the officer that may have been yelling at Happy, but it looked to me that he was yelling at the victim. Kind of odd.
Now, could you tell the difference between the officers by face? I mean, did you have a clear view of their faces?
I didn't have a clear view of their faces. I think when one officer was removed from the scene, he was put in the car that pulled right beside us. I mean, within 2 to 3 feet of us, he was pulled into that car. So that's the most I saw.
This is the one. This is the officer who you think did the shooting, or not?
I assume it was the shooting officer, because he was separated from the scene immediately.
And what did he look like? I mean, let me put it this way: did he look at you, or?
He actually, I remember him staring like directly at us and never losing eye contact with us until he stepped into his car.
Did he seem angry or sad or upset? How did he seem?
Not to say that he was angry or trying to. I would just consider it the type of stare that was you know, medium angry to angry stare, just kind of, it was intense, would be a good word to describe the stare.
Would it be a what are you looking at this for kind of stare or not?
No, I just think, I don't think it was that. It was nothing harmful to us, or
mm-hmm.
it just kind of, I guess, you know, he was...
It just killed someone.
Maybe,
perhaps.
Yeah, that, I guess that's maybe the look you assume when you kill someone, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of car do you drive? What kind of car? I'm sorry?
Toyota.
And what color is it?
Oh, it's a greenish color.
Greenish?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what happened after this interaction by to the victim, as you said, at this kind of angry speaking
the
or whatever?
Officers came up, and that was kind of separated. That kind of came to a halt. Again, I remember being brought to the police car. And after that, we were kind of just staring. I didn't take much note of what was going on with the victim. An officer came up and started putting up yellow rope and asking people to leave the scene. And he approached us and said, "You have to go around." And Stacy asked him, "Well, you know, what do I do? I just saw something, blah, blah, blah." And he asked us to park and give a statement, so we parked and came back and gave him a statement of what we saw.
Mm-hmm. And did you learn anything from him, or did anything interesting happen in the process of giving that statement that you think we should know?
Well, I was curious as to why the victim was shot. I asked the officer, I said, you know, is there a reason why this victim was shot? I mean, because if he didn't, these are my words exactly, if he didn't have a weapon, then there was no reason for him to be shot. I was confident of that right then, and the officer said he did have a weapon. This is what the officer told me.
Did he say he had a toy weapon?
He didn't say anything except he did have a weapon. We know that.
Okay. Anything else that the officer said that interested you or you think would interest us, or the public?
I really don't. That's all. He was basically kept a lot of information. Why he did confirm to me that he did have a weapon, but that's the most that we heard from him.
And then what happened?
Well, we were interviewed by the officer, we gave our statement, we left. We were then interviewed by the Sentinel.
How did that interview go?
Sentinel.
How did that interview go?
The interview was fine itself. Everything, you know, he asked us also what happened, and we gave him our accounts of what happened.
And when you read his description of your account the next day in the paper, what was your reaction?
Well, initially it was just that, you know, they made a little mistake. You know, I never said that I saw the officer rip a shirt off. They were Stacy's words, so I kind of figured, hey, he confused. He wrote that I said something that Stacy had actually said,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't a big deal to me. What I had said was that I saw the officer approach the victim with his gun held to the victim and reach into the victim's pocket and pull something out and toss it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't included, but that is what I had said. I never said anything about the ripping of a shirt or the lifting of a shirt.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I guess you told me a day later you became more concerned. Why was that?
As the time was going on and the reports were coming out, there was just reports of officers confirming, you know, that this was a justifiable shooting, that everything appears to be followed, you know, in lines of this and that, and that bothered me because all the witnesses that gave accounts, and ourselves included, did not feel that this was justifiable or in line. You know, we never saw a combat stance, a pointed gun, and this is what all the reports were saying, reports of press conferences.
So what did you do when you, as these reports came out?
Well, I read them. Second day, I saw the reports, and they were just not accurate. They weren't settling with me because they were inaccurate. So I, actually, Bob Gavin had told me the day that he interviewed me on the scene. He said, "If you have any additional information, or if anything's not reported accurately, please give me a call."
Bob Gavin is the Sentinel reporter, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He asked that I please give him a call if anything was inaccurate, and that was no problem. That was fine. And so I found some inaccurate information. I gave him a call. And to my surprise, he kind of kind of almost, he turned into an investigator, kind of. I was saying, listen, Bob, you know, this is Mike Schultz, he'd asked me to call. If anything was inaccurate, I see a couple inaccurate statements, you know, just about the stance, and the combat stance, and the fact that this was justifiable, and I think they're inaccurate statements, you know, and he kind of took the form of, well, you know, why is this inaccurate? Is it justifiable if a man pulls a gun that we get shot? And I was shocked by that. I mean, I thought what he was going to do was take my information and just report it, but instead he kind of almost dissuaded me from disputing the inaccuracy of the reports.
Did he seem to be, should we say, questioning your own accuracy and pushing some other story?
Without a doubt.
Really?
I was surprised by that. To be honest, I'm not aware or was never aware of the potential of the certain members of certain media groups acting with the police, but I honestly felt that way when he was
What was he trying to persuade you to do?
Just maybe not persuade me, but almost made me feel as if my takes or my view of how things were inaccurate, he tried to make that seem it wasn't right.
Did you have any conversations with the district attorney's office?
That was my next phone call, because I called a couple different numbers that I was given by investigative reporters. None of them were in at the time. They were out till Monday, which surprised me that they were investigating. But I did finally get in touch with Alan Johnson.
This is the man who excluded me from the press conference, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
DA, yeah, I guess this is the DA.
Yeah.
And I went to him with the same thing. I said, listen, you know, there appears to be some inaccuracy in what the papers are reporting about what occurred, and I'm calling to make sure that you folks know what occurred, and I proceeded to tell him what had occurred. He proceeded to tell me that the paper confuses...
Now, what specific inaccuracy were you talking about?
The inaccuracy of any aggression by the victims, on the victim's part.
Mm-hmm.
That was the inaccuracy, and the inaccuracy that the shooting was justifiable.
So, were you talking about the paper's treatment, or were you talking about the statements of Art Danner and Police Chief Belcher that he had assumed a combat stance pointing a weapon?
Well, yeah, those statements were made, I guess, at a press conference, and they were put into the paper.
And those were the statements you were challenging?
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to call to make sure that these people had it right, that there wasn't a stance. Maybe they weren't hearing the right story, and I wanted to call to make sure that they had it right, and that was it.
What did Alan Johnson say when you told him?
He proceeded to tell me that this always happens when there's a big case. The media twists stories, twists words. He said they've given written press releases to the media, and the next day the media has completely twisted what the press release says.
But yesterday you saw a transcript of the press conference, correct?
That is correct, and it was pretty much exactly what was.
And was the account in the Sentinel that you read, in fact, what Art Danner then said to the media and what Chief Belcher said, namely that a weapon was pointed and a combat stance assumed?
Yes, it was.
So, when he said the media was distorting, your concern, he directed your attention to the media, but your concern, I take it, was the district attorney's office.
That's right, exactly. I was truly concerned that maybe they really did not know, maybe those particular men did not get a hold of what I had told them on the first night.
And so did Mr. Johnson, hearing your account, say he would engage in further investigation and send out some more investigators to talk to you?
I asked him, I told him I made a statement, and he said, well, you've already made, I had asked him if someone else had to come out and ask me more questions about this, and he said, well, you've already made your statement.
So he expressed no interest in... I'm sorry.
No interest. His interest came when he said, if you have anything else you want to additionally add to what's already been said, then handwrite me a another statement, and I will put that on my files.
And did you ask him for any information about what was going on?
I did, and that was one of the most upsetting parts to me is he told me that it had nothing to do with me. This is what he said, and I said, well, how it happened was that I said, listen, the media's confusing this, blah, blah, blah. I told him the media's confusing this. He said, they always do. And I said, well, since the media always confuses this, can you tell me what's happening? And he proceeded to tell me it has nothing to do with me. He kind of removed the phone from my face and just said, Stacy, this has nothing to do with us. I said, there's officers at our house. We witnessed a whole shooting, murder, and it has nothing to do with us. And then he kind of patched up that statement, moving on to something else. And I don't remember what it was, but that was upsetting to me.
Do you intend to be at the press conference of the district attorney's office at 8 a.m. tomorrow?
I would like to be. I do work, kind of new to my job, that may be hard. I would like at least Stacy to be there. And if I can be there, I would love to be.
Maybe you can arrange an alternate time to make yourself available to the press at some point.
Yeah, if that's possible.
So, was Happy John in a combat stance with a weapon pointed at the police, or what appeared to be a weapon, as Chief Belcher and District Attorney Art Danner have publicly claimed?
I've never saw Happy make any aggressive motions whatsoever.
So, are you saying that you're uncertain as to whether he was in such a stance, or you would deny that that was the case?
I would deny that.
Okay. Is there anything more you'd like to add before I turn over the show, which has gone 20 minutes over, to the next broadcaster? But take your time.
It's just important to me. I've never been exposed to the media, to the police, or any of this. And all this is completely new to me. And the main thing for me, which is why I called the Sentinel, which is why I called the DA, the most important thing to me is the truth stays on the surface. And I mean, within 2 days of Sentinel news reports, the truth seems to be concealed and getting buried deeper and deeper, and I don't want that to happen. We reported what we saw. There's no phoniness in it. There's no reason to put phoniness in what we saw. We reported it, and it's almost being concealed or not paid attention to, and that it is the truth, and I don't want that to get lost.
And again, that truth is?
We feel that there was no reason to shoot a non-aggressive person.
So the claim that he had a weapon in his hand, what if he had a weapon in his hand?
If he had a weapon or he was reaching for a weapon, I would understand the police protecting themselves.
So why don't you agree with the police chief's account and the district attorney's account? They say that's what he was doing.
Well, because from the start, I didn't see that. I mean,
but don't they know better than you?
The police and the district attorney, I would guess not.
Why would your account be more credible than theirs?
I couldn't really say. I don't want to say that theirs, mine is more credible. I just want to tell.
Let me put it this way: were Art Danner and Chief Belcher on the scene when this happened?
Of course not. Of course they weren't. That's ridiculous.
Who was on the scene?
I was one of the main people on the scene, and then you have the two officers.
So perhaps your account is more credible because you saw it and they didn't?
Oh, that, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Great. Well, thank you, Mike Schultz, and I hope that you can make the press conference tomorrow. And if you can't, I hope that you can arrange for a future time when media can interview you, including the alternate media, without being excluded by Alan Johnson.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I guess. Guys seem to me to be working towards the truth of this matter, and I respect and appreciate that.
And we appreciate your coming public in what may be a difficult situation.
No problem.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
And that was witness Mike Schultz and Stacy
Buckaloo.
I'm going to remember that name eventually, giving their testimony about what happened on Wednesday night when Happy John was shot and killed by Officer Connor Carey, currently on administrative leave, but many of us fear soon to be back on the job. This has been Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, the extended edition. I want to thank Becca for allowing me to go on at great length with these witnesses. I think it's important, and she certainly recognizes that. I want to thank our callers for calling in and giving their view. I want to invite them to come to the press conference tomorrow, 8 o'clock, District Attorney's Office, 701 Ocean Street, second floor of the county building, to be present when hopefully other witnesses will also give their accounts of what happened. Not the official story necessarily that you're reading in the papers there, folks, but what has been seen. I'm going to have to go now and not take this last call, but perhaps Becca can field it. We are going to be returning on Thursday at 6 o'clock for another 6 o'clock for another edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. And I'm hoping you'll join us then. And also, I encourage you to keep your ears open. The Police Review Board may be meeting. I'm concerned that a Police Review Board that's done nothing in 2.5 years is not about to start now, particularly under the urging of Councilmember Kennedy. But if it does show its face in public, we should be there with all the witnesses and everybody we can think of to make sure that it's not another part of the phony cover-up process which I've seen operating so far. Wednesday, if you want to be a part of a demonstration in San Francisco on behalf of homeless people against the search and remove operations in Golden Gate Park, give me a call at 423-HUFF. We may do a caravan up to San Francisco. This has been Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I want to thank you for being with me. Tune in again on Thursday, Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3.
These days are so uncertain. Our future seems so vague. It seems we'd all be better off with a good old-fashioned plague. But still, I guess that Reagan's times are better times than Nixon's, 'cause now we've got MX, and first strike with all the fixins.